Now, Steve, I understand you've while that was going on, have come up with a list of the State Department's 30 allies.
Yes, actually, you know, this speaks to the tremendous pull we have here at Radio Parallax, which we'll be getting into just a little bit later. But I do have the official list of the 30 allies that are supporting the United States. Now, the State Department...
This is real now. This is not our Yuri Fleischman interview.
Well, it's strikingly similar. But this, the State Department has also said that there's a list of 15, quote-unquote, secret allies who support us but don't necessarily want to be known in their home countries for supporting us.
They're in the closet, as it were.
They're in the closet.
Well, those are allies you can count on.
Definitely. The list, well, you have the big ones, you know, Britain and Australia.
Yeah.
Canada is notably absent from this list.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
as is Mexico.
Plus Mexico. But we're also backed by Denmark. Poland is sending 200 non-combat troops to handle the lighting on the battlefield.
Excellent.
Afghanistan, Albania, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Colombia, the Czech Republic, El Salvador, Eritrea, Estonia, Ethiopia. They're committing a starving horse and a pointed stick. Georgia, Hungary, Italy, Japan, South Korea, Latvia, Lithuania, Macedonia, the Netherlands, Nicaragua, the Philippines, Romania, Slovakia, Spain, Turkey, and Uzbekistan. I think if you add the actual area that all of these countries consist of, you probably would get something the size of maybe not even California.
Right. So we have two countries that used to be called Ethiopia, two countries that used to be called Czechoslovakia, the three Soviet Baltic republics, about five or six countries which we have installed the governments in, such as Afghanistan and the Philippines. And
it's also interesting to note that Afghanistan has really no military or really financial backing to support us. So it's pretty much...
But they're giving us moral support.
It's moral support.
Okay. Well, like I think this is one whale of a coalition that the Bush administration has put together.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Japan has also said pretty much the only two countries that are actually fighting are Britain and Australia alongside the United States. No other real country has committed any combat troops.
I wonder what, like, El Salvador is actually contributing.
Probably nothing.
Some
I think
coffee
it's just,
beans, perhaps?
It's a few leaders, you know, nodding their heads in approval. Most of the countries that are actually supporting us, the majority of the people there don't even support this action.
That's true. Tony Blair's been facing a lot of opposition, as has the Australian Prime Minister at home over this.
And actually, you know, I don't know if you've seen any pictures of Tony Blair, but he has put on a significant amount of weight because of this crisis.
I did not know that. Now, Steve, you actually been working with the news department here at KDVS.
Mm-hmm. I've been working with Marcus Ulrich, who's our news director here.
Yes.
And he sent me to the Democratic State Convention just this weekend.
Now, I want to talk at length about the Democrats, but first there's a story I wanted to ask about. What's the latest over at UCD? We talked to Dr. Mark Wheelis about bioweaponry on the show last week and never got into the issue over the controversy over the biohazard lab that that apparently now they're maybe looking to put somewhere else besides Davis. Is that the latest?
That's what I've heard. There were four other sites. I believe one was in Arizona. Basically, they're looking for a lab in the West because they don't have one in the West right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I believe, three on the East Coast, and so they want to open up a level four containment lab here somewhere on the West Coast.
In an interesting juxtaposition of news stories about labs, although it's been claimed they can have Ebola and smallpox and the most deadly viruses known to man in a facility located at where 113 joins I-80 in Davis, about a mile away in the primate lab, well, there's a feeling that perhaps we can, you know, we can work on these bacteria without any fear of leakage to endangering the public. But a monkey... A full-grown monkey apparently turned up missing at the primate center and is believed to have died in a drain pipe in a mishap while the cage was being cleaned. Now, you think this had something to do with maybe taking some of the steam out of the effort to put a deadly bio lab in Davis?
Well, you know, if they can't keep a monkey in a lab, what are the odds of being able to keep Ebola? But I just giving my analysis...
It's a fair question.
Giving my analysis right now, I don't think that the monkey died. I think pretty much it's in a frat house right now learning how to open beer cans. But I think that's a side note.
There was much made about voice stress analysis done of primate center workers, which I thought was kind of a whiz-bang CIA, you know, a deception detection device that I don't know much about. We should run that one down. Let's mark that on the calendar for a future investigation. What is voice stress analysis? Does it work? I don't know. You know, if we have time on today's show, I want to address the Harper's Magazine issue on the Osama bin Laden voice that was on tape. But let's first things first, let's talk about the Democrats. They apparently had a wildly successful, in terms of news coverage, event here in Sacramento last weekend.
KDVS was there, and as a correspondent for Radio Parallax, I was there. All the big hitters, ABC, NBC, CNN, they were all there. John Kerry came on Friday, and he was kind of – overnight, he moved to the kind of the lead position in the Democratic Party.
He was the man they went to on – he was the go-to guy they went to on Friday night.
He's the big guy now. He's the front runner, basically,
okay,
over Lieberman right now.
Okay.
And so before I went down there, I tried to secure an interview with Kerry. And I had heard some things that maybe I would be able to go and get, you know, a few minutes with him while he's walking away or anything like that. And I found that because he's instantly become the front runner overnight, any time that I had was given to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Doesn't seem fair.
Well, it's not, but, you know, we are just community radio. But we do have a tremendous amount of pull because I did have the opportunity to sit in a press conference with Senator Kerry, which was interesting. And I couldn't really shout over, you know, ABC News and really the bigwig reporters. And so as he's leaving, I stick the microphone in Senator Kerry's face and ask him a question.
Oh, fair enough.
He looks at me and says, "You're asking me a question, and all I'm trying to say is hello," and pats me on the shoulder and walks right out of the room.
Do we actually have the actual clip of that?
Indeed we do.
In his own voice?
Indeed we do.
Well, Mr. McMillan, could you please cue that up?
You're trying to ask another question. I'm just trying to say hello.
So as he was giving you the brush off, did he strike you as a charismatic individual?
Remarkably charismatic. He's trying to do this whole JFK, RFK thing. If you even look at his hair.
He's got the hair.
He has this little kind of Kennedy pompadour out in front of him. And he's just, you know, throughout his speech, he made a number of references to things that sounded vaguely Kennedy-esque. You know, and even when he talks, it's just he has this presence in the room that you don't really pick up from our current president. And it's even more so than Bill Clinton had. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, normally I would be irritated if I was interviewing someone and they brushed me off. But for some reason, it didn't bother me. And I think that's just because of his nature. Maybe it's just because he was a presidential candidate.
Well, it's nice that you were able to get up there and at least, hear his press conference covering it for KDVS. You know, I'm not personally that impressed with Senator Kerry. There was quite a scandal, quite a stink about his congressional record. His being awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, which was quite a big deal in the international news a few years back. He is from Massachusetts, and I just don't want to go see him get Dukakis'd in 2004.
Well, I think the strategy that the Democrats have right now is they're going to try and put a Southerner on there. I think rumor has it that if he is the nominee, they'll put Bob Graham from Florida on the ticket with him because, like with the situation with JFK in 1960, he needed Lyndon Johnson from Texas so that he could carry the South.
Indeed, he did. Well, it's interesting. The reporting in Newsweek and The Bee and other places have mentioned that Kerry sort of got, the fact that he was pro-war didn't go over very well, whereas Howard Dean, the Vermont governor, pretty much staked out a position. He's a doctor. He's been more unabashedly anti-war, the peace candidate, as it were, among the Democratic front runners. And this apparently went over very well.
Howard Dean did get a standing ovation when he spoke on Saturday. But it's interesting to note that when Kerry was in California at the convention, he was very, very, very anti-war. And kept saying that, you know, the United States should only have to go to war if it has to and not if it chooses to. And when Lieberman bailed on the convention on Saturday.
He's been very hawkish about supporting the war effort.
And on Sunday, he gave a televised speech to the convention in which he started talking about, well, we need to support President Bush, regardless of our views on the war. And people started booing him in the audience. So Kerry was very much trying to play up to the anti-war crowd in California because there is a definite split between the California Democratic Party and I think what the National Democratic Party is trying to do right now.
As there is with the Republican Party in California versus the Republican Party across the rest of the nation. But the fact here is Senator Joe Lieberman, John Kerry, John Edwards, and Dick Gephardt all voted for the congressional resolution that gave George Bush the blank check to go to war, which they were then denouncing, or they were then trying to distance themselves from.
And, you know, the anti-war movement did have a very strong holding at the convention, and that seemed to be what a lot of people were handing out flyers on, and like I said, Howard Dean was just immensely popular because of his position.
All right, well, we had four members of the U.S. Congress, a governor, and Dennis Kucinich.
Now, that was an interesting thing. I got there on Sunday, and they kind of had the real B list of candidates that came out.
Sharpton, Mosley Brown, and Kucinich.
I did get my Al Sharpton for president bumper sticker, which
well
I prominently display in my dorm room.
You know, I got to say, if I were the Republican Party, I would go to the Al Sharpton camp and Carol Mosley Brown camp and say, how much money do you need? If we can disillusion black voters all across this country and get them split and getting maybe writing in a third candidate, we might as well just, you know, give Bush the keys to the White House for four more years.
And I think part of it, too, is to kind of discredit the Democratic Party.
Think they are two discreditable candidates, Mosley Brown and Reverend Al.
Now, I don't know if you know the controversy over Mosley Brown.
Well, in fact, sir, I do, and I was hoping you could clear this up for me. It was listed on the March 3rd Newsweek. Presidential hopeful Carol Mosley Brown was asked what she majored in during college. She said, I quote, I'm going to guess it was political science, but I'm not sure. It might have been history. I'll check. I hadn't thought about that one.
Mm-hmm. It really took her off guard. And so, you know, being one of the three reporters that actually showed up to see what she had to say in her little press conference. And, you know, they try and give them the high uh-huh. treatment. You know, you're a prominent Democratic, Miss Mosley Brown. Mm-hmm. And she comes in and I asked her, it was the first question, you know.
Do we have the tape?
Yes, we do, actually.
Mr. McMillan, please, let's play that.
My major in college was political science. I thought it was history for a minute, but it wasn't. It was political science.
Well, biology, zoology, genetics, it's easy to mix them all up.
It's all the same thing. It doesn't really matter. Also, Kucinich, which you mentioned a few minutes ago, he gave a speech, and he's really, you know, falling behind. He's not really that well known. So, you know, when you're in a position like that, basically the most important thing is getting name recognition. And so he tried to shock the audience a little bit by starting off by singing the Star Spangled Banner. Not just reading it, but actually belting it out at the top of his lungs.
Did you record that for posterity?
Yes, we do.
By all means, let's hear that.
Who say does that Star Spangled Banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the hope of the brave?
Well, despite Kucinich's singing, this apparently was quite a success, this whole convention. And I must say, looking at the literature that you brought here, it is remarkable that in California, all the elected state offices, every single one of them is held by a Democrat. Both houses of the state legislature have Democratic majorities. California's congressional delegation looks like almost 2-1 Democratic, and both senators are Democratic. What is the deal with the Republicans in California?
Basically, they support either anti-abortion candidates. And, you know, California is really the only Democratic stronghold left in the country. And I think that's why at least a lot of the candidates talking did mention that, you know,
they're salivating after California's 54 electoral votes.
That's part of it.
Without which no Democrat can find his way to the White House.
Exactly. But also, you know, they're trying to make a big issue about how the Bush administration has been ignoring California for the past 3 years and passing things that have been fairly detrimental to the state,
mm-hmm.
giving us, I believe, the same amount of money for Homeland Security that we're giving New Jersey.
I did not know that.
That was some of the figures that were cited. So.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, I'd sure like to get Bob Mulholland, the person who ran this party, on this program. Do you think you can have some of your influence?
He did an excellent job. I mean, I think I might have more influence than I do with Senator Kerry. But
because we should say that I believe when you were running KZFR, your program up in Chico, you had some dealings with Mr. Mulholland and his wife.
Yes, he did. He and his wife did come on a couple times on the program, so hopefully we'll be able to get him for next week on the show.
Well, that'd be terrific, Steve. Now, one thing I've observed in the years of living here in the Capitol, Steve, I don't know whether you found this to be true, is that when it comes to kicking back and partying, the Democrats are a lot more fun than the Republicans.
Well, I would say that the party faithful definitely know how to have a good time. And comparing that to Republicans, I've been to Republican events, country clubs, you know, Elks Lodge, whatever. It's just dry and boring, and it's just tedious, and it just reeks of bad perfume. And yeah, it's just not a good time. But the Democrats, even though some of their candidates, particularly I did meet Gray Davis, who is actually as boring as you hear in person.
I see. Well, that will certainly help our funding, I think, from the governor's office here at KDBS.
Well, we can always edit that out, I suppose. But
actually, it's student funded, luckily.
Yeah, like I said, this is the Democrats. I mean, they just had a good time all the way around. And, you know, regardless of what their views were on the candidate, they seem to just kind of enjoy themselves.
Well, say what you will about Willie Brown, when that guy knew how to throw a party when he had your Let Your Hair Down affair every year. All right, well, I think we've talked enough politics, and we've talked enough about armed conflict. Let's take a break and get into some lighter fare, shall we?
Definitely.
All right, you are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM. I'm joined today by Steve Valentino. I am your host, Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax.